Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about success. For Christians, what is success? And what does it look like? Because defining success kind of helps us understand if we're on the right track. And that's really what motivates so many of us in whether we're dealing with our flesh or putting off dealing with issues. How you define how you're doing will often give you an indication about whether you have an expectation of meeting those goals. One of the issues is somebody else defining success for you? Is someone defining whether you are a good Christian or not? If you're a bad Christian, if you're not, if you're backslidden, or if you're not achieving what God wants you to do in your life, who is determining that? When we allow others, not ourselves, not God, when we allow other people in our lives to determine how we're doing, and it's for one thing for them to say, you're doing well or you're doing bad, but when we accept that, we are allowing someone else to be God in our lives. It's that important, because the idea, the notion that spiritually, if you've been born again, if you have been re-spirited, if you've been born after the Spirit, and spiritually you are now joined with Him, if that is true for you, then anything less than absolutely you have fully achieved success spiritually is a lie. So when we are told we need to mature spiritually or reach another level spiritually or even achieve spiritual anointing or purpose or gifts, those are all things that in the Spirit we have already done. And why that's important is because our relationship with God is based on a spirit relationship. If you think you have to do or add or achieve or maintain anything in your relationship with God, you have a misunderstanding of that relationship. Now, once we accept that and recognize that as far as God is concerned, it is finished. His work in you spiritually is complete. You cannot please Him any more than you already do right now. And He can't give you any more of Himself than He has already given you right now. So what's the problem? Why are we living like we are? Like we so often feel like we've missed Him, or our life is a mess because we've missed Him, or because He's angry with us, or He's going to destroy our country out of judgment because we've screwed up. we didn't pray hard enough, or we're so full of sin, he's going to take it out on us. Whatever, fill in the blank. This is where it comes back to how helpful it is to understand the difference between spirit and the spiritual realm and the soul and the supernatural realm. And when we begin to evaluate our own lives and can separate our relationship with God and put that in the spiritual realm where it belongs, and recognize he's cool with everything that's going on in your life right now. He has arranged everything in your life to this point and in the future. Because remember, God created time, so he has complete control over it. That's not an issue for him. What you did in the past is not an issue for him. What you're going to do in the future isn't an issue for him. What you're doing right now isn't an issue for him. So are you saying we can do whatever we want? Well, the problem isn't a spiritual one. Our problems that we're dealing with and struggling with is in the soul. The problem is when we start melding our soulical struggles and saying they are spirit or from God or a reflection of God's love for us or lack thereof, that's when we get into trouble. So bringing clarity to what success is, that it's soulical, sometimes in the natural realm, but it's about our soul lining up with our spirit, which is already in alignment with God. So success for you, ultimate success, here's what it will look like for you, for everyone, for me, for everyone. Your spirit, soul, and body perfectly aligned as one, receiving love from God through your spirit, through your soul, through your body, unhindered, unencumbered. Now, what that is going to look like for you is going to be unique, because your soul is unique and your body is unique. But that's the ultimate success. Not spirit. Your spirit's already locked in place. Now your soul is being slowly healed and his truths revealed to you and brought into alignment with the spirit that is already locked in place. And then your body will follow along afterwards. Now remember, in your soul, because time has so many misunderstandings about it, we think that so many of the problems we're struggling with are our own. We have messed up, for instance, messed up our lives or done great things based on our own weaknesses or strengths. Yet there's part of the world system is that we historically and genetically, culturally, what is going on in our family, in our country, in our world, greatly affects and grows generation to generation, so that each one of us is not only dealing with our own stuff soulically, but this is where, one of the areas where in the supernatural realm, again, not the spiritual, we are dealing with a culminating, an accumulating garbage dump. And sometimes that garbage dump is very positive looking. Sometimes it's very negative looking. But what it is soul. It is flesh. It is lies. And God wants to get rid of it. Because it is that garbage. It is those lies, those both the culminated from your own life and from previous generations in your culture and your country, that is keeping your soul from being able to be locked in to your spirit. So when we start seeing what the real purpose of our life is and what our success will look like, we can hopefully start keep putting things in perspective as to what's going on in our lives. And also, when others start to make demands on our life, we can start saying, okay, now, is this part of my responsibility as the process of me achieving my purpose in God? In other words, we go to Him first. Now, this is a real struggle between generations. For children to take care of their elderly parents, for parents to take care of their irresponsible children, on and on and on. And when we can say, wait a minute, I am going to make this decision for myself by taking it to God, then we can own the decision and the situation and avoid contributing, both receiving and contributing to passing on the kind of garbage that we have received. The expectations, the family expectations, the generational expectations, even the political expectations. Because that's part of cultural and country. And just as far as time, you know, we're living in a really different time, technology-based, than has ever been on this earth, where information can be disseminated instantaneously, for the good or for the bad. And yet we aren't being taught to take that information and go to God with it. It was one thing when all we had to take to Him was just these things that were happening in our own little circle. Now it's a greater responsibility for our own sake to be able to be clear about what things, paying attention to what the Lord wants us to be paying attention to. Spending our time on what the Lord wants us to be spending time on. Taking care of others that the Lord wants us to be taking care of, and how. So even making the same decision along the road about, okay, taking this job or taking care of this situation a certain way, you may have already planned on, okay, this is the right thing to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take this job, or we're going to take our kids back into the house until they get on their feet after college, something like that. Just by the fact that you have taken it to God, then you can do your planning with Him and not feel like you're taking care of it yourself. Because you understand your purpose is not situational. It's about that He has crafted that situation for you, for your good, to reveal wounds so He can heal them, to expose lies so He can show you the truth, so He can be the truth to you, so He can minister through you in that situation, so He can do His purpose in you. In a sense, we start to see how everything in our lives is for us. And we can go, okay, isn't that really selfish? Well, not really, because we also then can see how that's true for everybody in our lives. We may think, okay, this person's a real burden on us. And it may, the person may really be a true burden on your life. But that's God in their life. God is arranging everything in their life to accomplish his purpose. And you don't need to know what it is. You don't need to know what's going on in that person's life. God may reveal it to you, but this comes back to one of our big problems, is learning to keep our mouth shut. God can't reveal many secrets to us because we blab everything or we change our plans. You know, so many times we think, okay, we're not going to invest in our lives long term, you know, whether it's college or investments or buying a house even, because he's going to come away, come the second coming and come take us all away, and we're not going to need anything. So it's better to spend our money and our time in a different way. But if we don't know how to go to him and ask, okay, God, what's going on here? And whether he answers your question about, okay, are you going to come in my lifetime? Is this how you're going to do it? What do I need to do here? He just says, no, you just be about your business. But you need to hear that. Because there is fear that has been released in the world. Because there is wisdom is lacking. And one of the reasons wisdom is lacking is because there has been this assault against the concept of judgment. My brothers and sisters, what is judgment but wisdom and discernment? To say that we're not to be judging one another or ourselves is to say we are not to have discernment and we're not to seek wisdom. Without that wisdom, without judgment, without discernment, fear has a free rein. Fear can assault our soul and our body, and it has. And even attempts at courage, standing up for a truth or wisdom or a right decision, admonished far too often in Christian circles and termed judgment. We're not allowed to judge. And that is not God's plan at all. If you are in him, you are to be developing wisdom, sound judgment, discernment. These are qualities and characteristics of adults, let alone Christians. So, for Christians, what does success look like? For you, what does success look like? Now, for the world, success can be outwardly measurable. We can tell somebody who's successful. But for the Christian, for you and I, it's often more subtle. In some ways, it will be a very private thing between each individual and God, between you and God, me and God. In familiar terms, the outward evidence of a successful Christian walk will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which are all those characteristics of Jesus Christ. Abounding to, or in testifying to the character of God in us. But what this will look like will vary from person to person. And it has nothing to do with whether that person has been going to a church for a long time. But instead, it will often depend on what particular circumstance God has placed a person in at a particular time and what God is dealing with. So again, it's not about not having anything going on in your life. In fact, that may even be the opposite. You know, we like to think that if we're in the center of God's will, and if we're hearing Him and we're doing everything right, then nothing's bothering us. We're able to just enjoy the ride. When very often, that the truth is the exact opposite. So a person could appear to be depressed, anxious, and maybe this is you, angry, may have just failed at a job, gotten fired, found out they had a major disease, had a fight with the spouse, and yet be fully successful. Because they are not relying on their own strength to deal with these things, but on the Lord. So success is not relying on our own strength to deal with the circumstances God has put us in, but rather turning, Lord, what's going on here? Letting His life flow through your spirit into your soul. Bringing your soul a little bit more in alignment to your spirit. That's the goal. That's your purpose here on earth. That's what your final, ultimate success will be. Now, admittedly, this is an incredible mind shift for many of us. But we need to make that shift. Since our basis for success often drives us away from the very thing that provides true success. In other words, we want to have something we can do rather than focusing on our relationship with the one who's done everything. And one of the problems with that is it makes us vulnerable to that fear and manipulation from leaders, vulnerable to the attack from the enemy, and at the mercy of our own flesh, our own crutches, our own ways of getting our own way. All this to say, when we look at success, we really need to keep our nose in our own business as far as evaluating how another person is doing as a Christian. And this is where we go back to developing discernment. Discernment and judgment and wisdom is not applied to someone's spiritual state. It is only applied to the soulical and the natural. None of us are able to evaluate someone's spirituality. We can look at a person's behavior and ask the Lord, this person is doing this, that, and the other thing. What's going on? And yet they say they're a Christian, for instance. What's going on? And He may say, yeah, there's a problem there, but it's not something I need you to focus on. Or, yes, go say something. I'm going to use you to point that out, or it's none of your business. So we need to be careful when judging either ourselves or others as to what success looks like. But just because we're to be careful and take things to God doesn't mean we don't do it at all. And this is for ourselves as well. If I were to say, how are you doing as far as your walk with Christ? You may be, okay, because I'm going to church, because I'm in a Bible study, because I'm even able, you know, I minister or I sing or I, you know, operate in the gifts or raise the dead, any of those things. But deep down, you wonder. It all comes back to, are you hearing from him? And are you confident that when you test what you hear, you're hearing a true response? That you know how to know him. You're good at it. You're good at hearing from him for yourself. Now, having said this, we look at the example of Jesus himself to see what his success looked like to others. Somehow, walking around this earth, he stirred an entire nation with his words and his actions. What did that look like? Jesus told the people that if they had seen him, they had seen his Father. What did that sound like? Jesus said he spoke only those things that he had received of his Father. So what is the standard of success we want to look for? Do our actions and words grow out of our relationship with our Father, with our new nature? Do our actions and words reflect contentment, appreciation, wholeness, and dependence on our Father alone? Now, what this specifically will look like will need to be determined on a case-by-case basis. And you'll want to take your own situation. You go to the Father and say, Lord, how am I doing? But as our solical senses are tuned, we will begin to learn to recognize those who are walking in this dependence, as well as recognize it in ourselves. Those that have eyes and ears quickened by the Lord himself will see and hear, not for the purpose of tearing down, but for being available for the Spirit and the love of God to flow through us into the lives of others. Again, God left us here on this earth. If he only cared about us as individuals, if he could perfect what he's doing in us on a one-by-one, one-on-one basis, he would. He would have all just, okay, made you a Christian, bop you on the head, and he'd take you up to heaven and finish what he's doing up there. But he didn't. Most of us are not alone on a desert island. So he has us coming into contact with one another in families, in relationships, in communities, in churches. So that we don't get settled. So that we have to struggle with these things. Success is after the battle. You win the war by fighting the war. And it's what we learn through that struggle. As long as we're going back and depending back on God, that's what brings our soul into a greater alignment with our spirit. So hopefully that's given you a little encouragement about success and about how we achieve it. Next time, we're going to talk about recognizing it a little bit more specifically in ourselves and in others. But God knows what he's doing in your life, and he's happy with your progress. So thanks for tuning in. You can always drop me a line at the Rainers, Diane at therainersclub.org. Visit the website. There's a contact page, or through Blog Talk Radio. We'll be getting back together again next week, the same time. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.